Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
Yeah, because... Hey,
shut up, you two.
Sorry.
We're going live.
We're talking pregame.
Hey, it's Box Office Breakdown. My name is Ken Napsok. I am in for Sarah Stretton, who has better things to do in life. No, I'm kidding. She's got some important stuff. She's on assignment for the Bob. But I am here with a reunited cast, so to speak.
Yes.
Tom Dagnino is here.
Hello, everybody.
Live and in person. Still Tom, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be for a while. Can I get my mic turned down a little bit? It's really loud.
Yeah? Well, that's what happens when you get dropped off the limo 2 seconds before the show starts.
That's true.
We could have worked on that.
Maybe it's your headphones.
That's what his headphones meant.
Returning from the Congo or some world adventures, Josh Tapia, JTE.
The Congo, then New York. And I got back, and, you know, it's been 2 weeks. I'm glad to be back. I thought Sarah would be here. I'm starting to wonder.
Sorry to disappoint you.
No, I love you, Ken, but, you know, why did she... I mean, was she worried? I don't know what's happening here.
I don't know. I'm surprised she's lasted this long with you two
with both of us?
In a room.
I actually seen her this weekend coming back from a yoga thing. And she was
careful.
She was wearing yoga
she
pants.
She was good.
She was wearing yoga pants?
She was getting into yoga.
Yeah.
Well, she has to get into fighting shape to be in a room with you two, so I don't blame her.
Yeah, it was interesting.
So here on Box Office Breakdown, what we do is we, as it would title would imply, we break down the box office number, and we dig in and find the stories buried in the numbers and stats. As Vin Scully would say, we're here for all the pregame stats and stories. And we take a peek at next week as well and find out what's going on. So... let's dig into the domestic top five U.S. domestic box office. We're kind of in this weird coming out of the junk pile season.
Yeah.
Summer movie season's coming.
Mm-hmm.
We got some big stuff down the line. Big releases this past week. We're like Home, Get Hard, Cinderella Insurgent still in the theater. So take it away, JT, with what we had.
All right, so let's start at number five, It Follows, which was a little bit of a surprise to me, coming in with about, how much did it come in there?
Just over four million.
Well, it added 1,200. Theaters.
That's true. That's the reason. And word of buzz on this movie. And as we always know, horror films, they do good, especially in their opening week. And this is the first week it really had a wide release.
Yeah, it's got good subject matter, you know.
And it's getting good word of mouth in the horror
really
community, which that can be a prickly, picky bunch. They like their horror, and they like it done well. Sometimes you can like a movie because it's bad, but It Follows seems to have a good model where it goes in, costs little, and it makes a lot.
I was talking to JT about it yesterday. They don't show anything, though. It's like sex related, but they don't show anything.
That.
Like, how do you have a horror movie and not show bags?
Yeah, I mean...
Like, I need to see bags in horror movies, or I ain't going to watch them.
Here's the thing, like... If you're going to see a horror movie about a sex ghost, you think there might be some nudity, but there isn't. I mean, it's a little disappointing.
Anything.
All right. Well,
anything?
Another movie
Jesus
I wish
Christ.
That had
it was chaste. It's a chaste sex ghost, all right? It's here to promote, you know... saying no in the afterlife.
Exactly. I mean...
Well, that's true.
You didn't see it, Ken, have you?
That.
No.
Okay. I recommend you seeing it. Even though it has no bags,
okay.
I still think it's a very good movie.
It's useless, then.
Here's another movie that I would only see if it had some bags in it. It's number four, Cinderella.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
17 million.
You'd see Cinderella if it showed some nudity.
I mean, did you see the girl that played Cinderella? She's hot.
I kind of agree with that.
Thank you, right?
I don't think it was marketed to you guys.
It'd been really cute. The mice could have came up and like pulled your dress down real slowly. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're looking at a different list.
That's Cinderella XXX.
Someday we're going to get a Cinderella with nudity in it.
I think there was one in the 80s called Sin. Cinderella.
That was a thing. Oh, wow.
Cinderella came in 17 million, like you said, and it's still going on. What is the second week of release here?
Mm-hmm.
Disney's killing it with these live action adaptions of their properties right now. The trend's going to keep going. I think more and more and more, and this is kind of proven they can make some money during this season.
They're going to have a big, big, big year.
Well, Avengers is
and
Star
Wars.
Disney.
And
yeah,
Star Wars.
Disney rules the
That's
universe.
True.
Yeah. What other live-action adaptions of Disney properties would you like to see?
Well, it's funny because you got Dumbo, which
That is not one of the first movies that comes to my mind with Tim Burton.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this the other day. I think we mentioned this on the main show, the Schmoes No Show. That's a tough question. Like, originally I was thinking of like one of the smaller films that a lot of people don't know about, Oliver and Company.
Okay.
Do you remember this movie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it could be like half CG dogs, you know, put some celebrity voices in there. It could be a fun movie, but I can't think of anything else.
Bambi.
Bambi.
And Saturday Night Live ran a great sketch, video sketch written, co-written by Mikey Day this week with The Rock as a live-action Bambi. That was good. I want Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
That's a good one,
just
too.
Just turn that into
was
some
that
kind
a
of
movie. Or was that like a special?
It was a property. I think it came from a book, and there was an animated movie years ago, I believe.
Yeah, they went to VHS or something.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. But that ride got me through my childhood on visits to Disneyland. I'd like to see that on the big screen.
Somebody mentioned Aladdin, and I wouldn't want to see that because you can't replace Robin Williams.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't want anyone even to try to do like imitation of him.
Okay.
If they did do it, it'd have to be so different and almost no comedy.
Mm-hmm.
A straight edge, like, straight ahead, Aladdin. Dark Aladdin.
Look like Maleficent. Like, you know, that movie wasn't funny.
Dan Castellaneta did the voice of Genie on TV Aladdin. It sounded almost as good.
Wow.
I don't care. Rob Williams ain't doing it. I don't want to hear it.
There you go.
But I agree. I know. He did, like, the sequel to Aladdin. Then I think Williams came back for the third Aladdin, which was, like, straight to VHS.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when
so
I see
So you want Genie. A dark, gritty Aladdin. That's
I
what you want.
I think that would work.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Number three on the list is Insurgent, which, of course, is a divergent story. They have to put that into the marketing. Lionsgate taking in $22 million in it.
That's a 57% drop. That's a big drop for a second week movie.
It's no Hunger Games.
No.
And the problem is it's always going to get compared to that. The book series, I've read the Hunger Games book series, not read Divergent. I don't go scouring the young adult section at all Barnes & Noble's every weekend.
I do.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Young adults?
Believe me, I've seen your picture at the Grove Security office.
Yeah, they don't even
it's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is yours, too. If you've never seen the video of Tom walking around JTE in a dog collar because JTE lost a bet on the Schmoes No movie show, go check that out. Look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I got kicked out of the Sephora in the Grove, you know, makeup spot.
Well, that's what happens when you're hunkered down in the corner in a trench coat.
It was weird.
Yeah.
There's some interesting stuff going on in there.
What do you think this says about the divergent, insurgent type of thing, the dystopian future teen, young adult stories? Did they take a hit? Does this take a hit to that type of movie?
I don't know if we're going to see the rest of the books. I think maybe they'll squeeze one more out. It's like Percy Jackson.
There's only one more book.
Is there only one more?
They'll make one more. I'm sure they've.
It's a three book series.
It's making money.
It's going to make its money internationally. I think that's why.
Right, of course.
It might not be the hit of it. Hunger Games is here.
Sure.
But overseas, it's going to make its money, and it'll make a third one.
Well, like I said last week, I don't think they're going to split the last book into two movies like they do this.
No.
Like they do the other stuff with the stupid Hobbit and the other stuff.
I like the Hobbit.
It's bad.
We're going into Hobbit breakdown now?
No, I'm sorry.
We could do that. I could sit and talk about the Battle of Too Many Armies all day, all night. Next on the list is a new Rising with a Bullet from Warner Brothers, Get Hard, the controversial comedic movie, taking in $34.6 million.
It's actually really good. Warner Brothers would have been happy with 25. 32
right.
And 35 is... It can push to about maybe 130 domestic, and that's a big win.
That's pretty close to what he made with The Wedding Ringer, I believe, Kevin Hart. So he's hitting the kind of like mid-30 range every move. But I thought, honestly, with Will Ferrell in this, I thought it might have hit closer to 40 or 50. But apparently, people saw the same trailers I saw, which just, to me, were not funny.
Did it strike you as being too similar in concept to Wedding Ringer, which was just out, Kevin Hart helping a white guy, type of thing? I mean,
I also think, you know, the jokes, I think you know where the jokes are going to go in this. It's a lot of, you know, prison rape and
It got a lot of flack for coming off as a little bit homophobic and causing some controversy in that area.
A lot of people are talking about it. Like, it's cool to, like, talk about rape when it's in prison, but anywhere else you talk about it, it's not, like, acceptable.
I would think there should be some limits on rape comedy.
I think
that'd be all right.
I think that's accurate.
You would think, right?
You would think in a functional society that's something we could do.
I think, when all else fails, Will Ferrell, they're all sitting like a think tank. They're like, what should we do for another scene? Will Ferrell's probably like, we could put a dart in my neck or head, and they're like, yeah, done, let's do it.
Was it you another who dart, pointed on,
shank. Yes.
You pointed out on social media, I believe, yes. And you can follow Tom at Bob Finstock on Twitter, that, every movie Will Ferrell's in, it seems like something gets shot into his neck.
And then he doesn't even know it's there. And then they're like, what do you got in your neck? He's like, what? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Are we, could...
I mean, it was great in Old School.
Yeah,
and Old School worked very well. Yeah. I'm a fan of both these guys in their own world. I think Kevin Hart has a brand. I think he killed it when he hit on the national spotlight and 40-Year-Old Virgin. That was a great steal the movie scene. So I get it. He's got a brand. He's got a thing. He's striking now while the iron's hot. But two movies back-to-back, similar concepts. Will Ferrell, is he... I know I'm a fan of Ferrell going back to the Groundlings days, even before SNL. Now you go, he's kind of... Is he going to fall into that Adam Sandler category where you groan more than you laugh?
I hope not. The thing is, I haven't liked any of Kevin Hart's films. I think he's a great stand-up comedian. He's hilarious.
I would say great.
Okay. I think he's good.
He does what he does well.
Yeah, he does it. Ride Along, I thought was pretty horrible.
That was terrible.
I thought Wedding Ringer was horrible.
Terrible.
And this movie, I have no interest. And I'm a big Will Ferrell fan. I'll say just about anything Will Ferrell's in. I'm hoping he just kind of made a Kevin Hart movie and not a Will Ferrell movie.
Well, that's a good way to look at it.
And that's kind of why I'm just going to skip it.
I mean, they promoted the piss out of it, though.
They did.
And the only times I did laugh a little bit in the trailer was at some of the stuff Will Ferrell
I heard
doing.
They got one or two good jokes in there.
But $34 million it's a decent. Success enough, right?
Oh,
don't
absolutely.
You think, Tom?
You're gonna do 120 to 130 domestically in the box office. That's fantastic.
So you're sitting in the studio exec chair. You're thinking, hey, we don't need number one. We don't need 40, 50. We got what we want.
I'm searching through the classifieds in the back for the Russian girls. It's extra. It's free money.
I mean, it's a comedy. Also, the budget on this thing is not like there's no explosions or cars flying out of cars, which we'll talk about later. But
it's a great premise, though. I mean, it's interesting.
Here's what I'm worried about from the trailers. It looks like the premise is a one joke premise that is stretched out for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And from what I hear from people, that's exactly what it is. I don't know how much they could keep it being funny.
That's a lot of modern movie comedies, though, these big, high-profile comedies. Yeah. It's weak concepts. You mentioned Old School. I love Old School.
It's great.
Second half of the movie kind of dies for me. I still love it.
Still great.
The concept is great, and the concept carries it. But sometimes those movies gravitate to the personalities. Vince Vaughn.
I just think comedies as a whole are – they're just not quotable anymore. They're not really – like people don't talk about them anymore. Like they don't live – anymore.
Speaking of that, I tweeted out like Friday. I said, if you're going to go see movies this weekend and it's playing near you, go see a movie called What We Do in the Shadows from the guys that play the Concords.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a mockumentary in the vein of Spinal Tap. And it is so funny. It's the funniest movie I've seen all year and probably the funniest movie I saw last year, if I was counting it. And it's not getting a lot of love. You can get a video on demand. If you guys could see it, you will be quoting the movie all week.
Yeah.
And it's the funniest movie I've seen in a long time, and it's not really getting enough love. It's way better than Get Hard. I haven't seen Get Hard, but I can tell you that's a fact.
Oh, I wouldn't. Yeah. I don't know. Kevin Hart, he's typecasting himself.
Yeah.
But I like Will Ferrell when he plays in Stranger Than Fiction and the movie Everything Must Go.
Oh, Everything Must Go.
I think he's great in that.
There's
I think
some
he could do serious stuff.
Was it Winter's Passing?
Yeah. I think he could do some serious stuff.
I don't know.
He's got talent. That's
he's got
sure.
him. All right, and rounding out the number one domestic on the list, debuting at number one, is DreamWorks Animation's movie, distributed by 20th Century Fox, Home.
This movie
took
surprised
$54 million.
Yeah.
Talk about that, because the commercials annoyed the crap out of me. I mean, waving my arms in the air like I do not just care or whatever. You got Jim Parsons, Rihanna's doing the lead.
They had three great chick voiceovers.
Mm-hmm.
Rihanna, J-Lo, and Jim Parsons. I mean, they did really well for each other. They did really well.
They did. It was a winning combination. But this movie, I got it up here on Rotten Tomatoes. The approval rating right now is 47%.
Mm.
Audience score, 69%. But even then, for an audience that's relatively, I'll say,
low
for making $54 million, is it because we're seeing family-friendly movies are kind of winning the day? I'm looking at some of the successful ones. Big Hero 6 opened with $56 million. That movie got Oscar attention.
Yeah.
Then you got SpongeBob Movie, $55 million. Kung Fu Panda in the past, $60 million. Monsters vs. Aliens, $59 million.
The minorities, the black and Latinos came out and seen this. They really did.
For what reason?
Because of Rihanna?
No, they're seeing these movies now. They're pushing these things over. it's look at it. I think it was like 50%. Whatever it was called.
Oh, that's the alert.
I just got a thought.
That's the alert in your pants.
My bad.
Zip it back up.
So, like, the movie's about an alien who crash lands, meets a little girl, and is trying to get home. It's kind of like E.T., but, you know.
It's like the reverse
Nickelodeon
E.T.
version.
Yeah. It is
E.T. It is E.T.?
Yeah, it's basically E.T.
I mean, the thing that surprised me, and I think we were talking this before the show, is I saw almost no advertising for this movie.
Yeah.
It was out there, but yeah.
But, I mean, again, we're not watching Nickelodeon stuff, but...
Yeah, it's on, like, little apps, like, you know, Angry Bird apps and all these other things.
Angry Bird apps, yeah, that's a good way to do
it. I just wouldn't let my kids see any movie like this ever. If they wanted to see it, like, hey, let's go see Home. They're like, no, I'll pop in, like, Scooby-Doo Mystery starring Don Knotts and watch that.
Let me ask you that. Cool. Of the kids you know you have in America, you're saying you wouldn't...
I don't have any in America. All outside of the
US. That's why I said specific to America.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just pile the kids in the van and take it? Don't you think that's why these movies are doing so well right now, despite what critics or fan scores might think?
I would take my kid to the park and throw a baseball around, you know.
I would do that, too.
Things like that.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, like, Cinderella is a demographic for the kids. It's little girls. Not a lot of little boys are running around saying, oh, take me to see Cinderella. This was something the parents could take both kids to. So I think...
Well, you're being a little sexist there by saying the boys don't want to go see Cinderella.
Do any of you guys as a kid want to run go see Cinderella?
My cousin, but he's questionable.
Maybe. A live-action one, you throw in some swords. It's got Richard Madden from Game of Thrones, Robb Stark.
Yeah, because the kids are real familiar with Game of Thrones.
But if we bring the dads there, the moms there. You know?
That's true.
I guess. I mean, I'm just, you know, as a kid myself, I mean, yeah, I watched Cinderella as a little kid probably on a Disney VHS. But when I was like 8, 12 years old, I'm not seeing a trailer for Cinderella. I'll be like, I got to go see this movie.
I'm
going to stay home and watch Ninja Turtles.
Some people call me crazy. I refuse to watch animation movies.
So we do have a fan award to award from the domestic, right? Want to get to that now?
One of our
Thomas.
First of all, none of us got 5 for 5.
No, we did not. Sarah actually won with her prediction on Get Hard. That's what we predicted because we thought that was going to be number one, but obviously it wasn't.
It was a weird tie off. So
we got a couple. Want to do both now?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Start
well,
there.
For Thomas Zelenka won the award for guessing Get Hard's opening numbers.
He put
in 34.16 million. It came in at 34.6. That's very close. Mm-hmm. Off by $500,000 there.
That's actually not bad.
Thomas Zelenka, what does he win?
He wins me not pronouncing his name.
No,
I think he'd want to pronounce the name. I think that'd be the prize he won. You try pronouncing that. It'll become Thomas's ringtone.
Thomas Zelenkis.
That's actually Tomas.
Zelenkis?
Because there's no H.
Zelenka.
No, it might
Zelenka?
Be. Yeah,
is that right? Zelenka?
Tomas. Yeah, maybe it's Tomas Zelenka. I'm just taking off your list.
I got a joyful noise on Blu-ray for him.
Joyful noise on Blu-ray.
Because he didn't win on a call-in. He went on the...
the
site. So,
so there you go. So
he gets a Joyful Noise Blu-ray.
Mr. Zelenka, right into the Facebook page?
Yeah, or Twitter. Or hit us up
Twitter. Hit the guys up on Twitter. Of course, you can follow the show on Twitter at SKShmoesBob and on the Facebook page as well. And then our winner for the 5 for 5 Fans Choice Box Office Award is Dylan Esposito.
Nice.
A loyal listener to the show.
Yeah. Big fan.
He hit 5 for 5. Good job,
That's
Dylan. What does he win
too.
For that one?
That's impressive.
A night of drinking with Tom?
It's a possibility. I think I might have another extra Joyful Noise DVD.
They just give these things away.
Well, I have about 70 of them.
Okay, what movie was this again, Joyful Noise? It sounds
Queen
very
Latifah,
familiar.
Dolly Parton.
Oh, well then, jeez. Yeah.
I mean,
Dolly Parton, Queen Latifah.
If it does anything, I mean, I see a lot of people in Schmoville posting these pictures with all these Blu-ray, you know, things, like a zillion of them. Just add another one to collection, whatever.
Dylan, give it to your girlfriend for her birthday or said holiday.
Yeah, it's not bad. Actually, it's not that bad.
The girls like
it. I mean, Dolly Parton's hot still, you know?
Hey, I've been to Dolly World. I enjoyed
really?
My time there. Yep, absolutely. Just outside, between Knoxville and Nashville, Tennessee. Absolutely.
She was a rhinestone. She was
absolutely.
Pretty good rhinestone.
Dylan has, on the chat board, has proclaimed, woohoo, he is happy for winning that movie.
Well, Chris Osterman got his stuff today. He got his Peterman catalog and he got his Prisoners DVD. So
Dylan's really happy about that Blu-ray. Tell him I'm going to send him Barbershop 2, just as a consolation prize.
Wow.
There you go.
Another Queen Latifah.
Then we just have one
classic.
More.
How many Queen Latifah movies do you guys have?
I got a ton of them.
Is that Fallon Taxi movie in your collection,
too,
to give away?
Bringing Down the House with Steve Martin and Juice, where she played the DJ.
Oh, she in Juice?
Yeah, she's.
I haven't seen it a long
she's
time.
In the beginning.
One more thing before we get to box office.
No,
Gunman,
go for it.
Gunman.
Oh, Gunman with our man Sean Penn.
It's starting to do Mordecai stuff.
Is that Mordecai level?
Yeah. I mean,
why do you think? Because here's the thing: I'm a huge Sean Penn fan. And I still haven't seen this movie because I've heard so many horrible things. But I mean, the trailers. What I'm hearing in the trailers just looks such a badass Taken type movie.
Yeah.
From everyone I know seeing it, it's not that. It's like a little bit of action and just like him talking about a girl and a relationship or something.
It might be, so that would affect the word of mouth. But before you even get into the theaters, what you just described might be contributing as well as one of those badass Taken type of movies. Mm-hmm. How many of those does Liam Neeson do a weekend?
Yes.
I know, but this is Sean Penn.
I know.
I told you what happened. My theory was, I don't know if you heard it.
Yeah,
go
tell
for
us
it. He's such a badass on the streets that it doesn't go over to the movies. Because he's such a badass.
Yeah.
So when he tries to play one in the movies, he can't do it. That's why he has to play, like, the Mystic River guy or Milk.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's such a badass, he can't play a badass because he doesn't know how to...
Might be in, what was it, Gangland? Which could have been a very serious, good L.A. Confidential
type story. Gangster Squad.
Gangster Squad?
Yes.
Yeah, Gangster Squad.
Yeah.
He's doing the, hey, let me shoot you here. Yeah.
I love that he did that. Like, he's like, what does he say right before?
Well, he held his gun like Jimmy Cagney, the 38th special. Like,
yeah.
Oh, he goes, here comes Santa Claus, and he comes out with a Tommy gun and he just starts shooting everybody. I kind of like that.
I love it.
And he was a boxer in that movie, and he was beating the crap out of people.
Well, the reason why I brought it up, because I was in a bar this weekend, and... I met some girl and I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, she's like, hey, I'm here with my brother or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, no, whatever. And she introduced him as Mordecai. I turned around and left the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like most of America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just turned around. And
before we move on to international numbers, do you want to introduce your special guest here today?
Yeah, guys. I got a special guest coming in this week. My primo, my cousin, Mr. Chris Remillard, flew in from the East Coast to visit me in L.A. He's seen a little bit of L.A. life. He's been here before. He's actually went to Ecuador with me a couple times, and he's been there since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chris, how many fights have you and JT gotten into in Ecuador? Like, were you two had to defend yourself from 35 people and a broken beer glass or something like that?
You don't know
he's
bothered us when we're out there.
I can see that.
Yeah. And this guy, this guy, it's like having a gun in your back pocket.
Well, little known fact is Undertaker's his dad. The first one.
Oh, the first one.
The first Undertaker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Bruno Sammartino is JTE's dad.
I don't even know who that is, and I'm going to look it up as soon as it's over. But yeah, my cousin, he grew up with this guy watching movies. He's a big horror fan. I definitely got a little more to the movie geeky side of this.
Yeah.
He doesn't really keep up on the movie geekiness, but he go to movies almost as much as I do.
I just watch movies and watch them.
Yeah, he's
the... Well, that's impossible for another human being to go see movies as much as you do.
I mean, he sees a lot, but he does definitely goes towards the horror films. What was the last great horror film you saw? Because I took him to see It Follows this weekend because I knew he would like it. What would you say, Chris, is the last great horror film you saw in the theater?
Besides It Follows?
I'm curious.
I can tell you it's been a while.
Friday the 13th, Part 4.
Chris, let me ask you this about It Follows. Did you think it needed nudity?
Actually, they were wrong. There was bags in it.
Really?
There was nudity in the movie.
Oh, the ghost.
There was a couple.
But how could you forget about that? Here's the problem.
He saw it twice.
And it was ghost. It was like ghost nudity, and they were dead.
But they weren't ghosts. They're still like people.
Yeah.
Ghost nudity counts.
I forgot about bags that.
It wasn't like a see-through thing.
Put it this way. Bags. The bags I wanted to see weren't the bags I saw.
Okay. You guys are horrible.
Some of them ghosts weren't that bad.
I am not bringing you to my tea cotillions. All right, let's move on to international box office numbers. Cinderella led the international box office this weekend with an estimated $38.7 million, probably because in other countries, boys want to see Cinderella, too. Cinderella has earned $186.2 million overseas. Mm-hmm. We can never forget about these international numbers.
That's where they make all that money now.
And it still has Japan on the way.
Yep.
Coming up next in 63 markets, Home added $23.4 million this weekend in the international. Opened very good, $3 million in Mexico, but fell short of $1 million in Germany and Italy. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, look, DreamWorks needed a hit, and they got it.
Do you think I don't want to say that.
Is it going to make How You Train Your Dragon money? No. I think it'll slow down a little bit. I mean, because something's coming out this week that's going to knock people's doors off.
Why do you think Home did so well in Mexico?
I don't know. Maybe because they want more homes over there. I'm not sure. Maybe they don't really have a home, and nobody really has a home. So they're like, "Yeah, let's go see Home." I don't know. Cut
That's a good theory.
I mean, it could be.
Diversion.
They got confused. They thought they went there. They would get a home.
Yeah, maybe.
They give it a home.
Yeah, they're like, let's get some straw and stuff. They're making it out of clay.
I mean, you're the one who lived in Ecuador, so you know the state of the international markets better than I do.
I see some homes out there built of sticks and mud. So yeah,
it's Gilligan's Island out there.
Moving on, Divergent, the Divergent series Insurgent added almost $30 million over there. The major new market was South Korea, where it opened big over there. So it has now earned $93.7 million in the box office and is set to reach Spain this weekend. So it's going to cross $100 million in the international, which, again, kind of a success.
They do well. I mean, the budgets ain't really too super inflated. So, you know, it's not Hunger Game budgets. Hunger Games go like $200 million. They do this for like $80 million.
Right.
It's not a bad deal.
Also, Jennifer Lawrence is carrying that franchise a lot.
She carries everything.
I mean, Shailene Woodley is not the same level as Jennifer Lawrence.
Not at all.
She's a great actress. I love the independent stuff she does. But
yeah, she's got a lot of, like, these vegan thought processes.
Oh, she's very hippie.
Yeah.
She's very hippie. But
she doesn't take showers and stuff.
Yeah, but she doesn't wear a bra half the time either.
Are those facts?
Yeah, those are cold hard facts.
I'm looking those up on IMDb, and it does not list half of those there, but maybe it's true.
Those are on the underground website I look at.
TomDagnino.com. So that's the international roundup. Close up the international. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? You wanted to move past that kind of quickly. It was an interesting weekend.
Like
I
said, Get Hard did okay. Now, you know,
where did it open?
Did kind of weak. Looks like it
UK.
Opened in
the
UK.
Yeah.
In Australia.
South Africa.
I mean.
So, from there, we're going to move on.
Oh, yes. International game.
The international game.
Break out the Rosetta Stone, because it's time for the international title game.
Yes, yes, Super Hero! Yes, yes!
Al esfuerzo y al heroísmo de una revolución, no lo queremos.
We should have like a little caption of your cousin like slamming.
Is that you screaming in a bar fight in Ecuador?
Sounds like it.
The last one's a Japanese guy from a random video I found on YouTube.
Yeah, it's Gung Ho.
And the first one, I'm going to remind everybody, is Rocky IV.
Yes, that's correct.
And
Castro.
And the second one's Fidel Castro, who you're a big fan of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, big time. Well, he's a fan.
Well, Sean Penn's a fan of him, too.
Well, Gerard Depardieu, Castro, that's his favorite actor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You said that.
He likes Green Card.
Yeah.
Andy McDowell.
They drink
great
wine.
Movie.
They drink wine and watch The Jerk.
Take us to the international game, man. Let's play it.
So, explain it for people. My cousin, I don't think, has played this game before. So
you're going to be in on it, too. So, we're going to have four people on today.
Yeah, let's do it.
Basically, I give titles that are bizarre, mainly from China, and you have to guess the fake one. Have you ever heard this game before?
No.
It's sick.
All right. Go for it.
Okay, so basically China, where they do everything, they're just flat out the best. Flat out. Okay.
They are the best.
China. Easy Money. The Rodney Dangerfield, Joe Pesci classic.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which, coincidentally, The Jerk, the 79 movie with Steve Martin, was supposed to be named Easy Money, but this came out.
Okay. Oh,
interesting.
Just a little fact.
Okay.
Ding dong. Anyway.
Fun fact.
China. Easy Money. Wonderful Husband Rushed to the Money. Okay. Wonderful Husband Rushed to the Money.
I could see that. Okay. That's not too bad.
China.
Yeah, here we go.
Colors. The Sean Penn classic. Gang War classic where he did get
Robert Duvall, yeah.
Yes, where he got the free pass for life in the hood for strolling an extra down and like throwing him in a sewer. Okay. Called Color Rattlesnake.
Wow, that's a weird
color
one.
Color Rattlesnake. Okay, I'm writing these down.
That's a weird one.
Sharknado.
Oh, Sharknado.
Run, run. It's Tara Reid, and she's looking to have sex with you.
That is not real.
No. Run, run. Flying Shark.
Oh, you know, I believe that one, because a lot of movies in China are called Run, Run.
Yes.
Okay.
China, of course.
Of course.
Euro Trip.
Oh, that's a funny movie.
American Twinkies Visit Foreign Land.
Run them down again.
Yeah, go down one more time so I make my choice.
China, Easy Money. Wonderful Husband Rushed to the Money. China, Colors, the Sean Penn classic. Color, Rattlesnake. China, Sharknado. Run, Run, Flying Shark.
Okay.
Euro Trip. the, I don't know who's in that. Brooklyn Meyer had
nobody's famous. Matt Damon had a cameo.
American Twinkies visit foreign land.
American Twinkies. Why would they call them Twinkies is what I'm stuck on.
All right. Chris?
Chris, which one do you think was fake?
I'm going to have to go with the Twinkie one.
Twinkie.
Twinkie one?
That just don't sound right.
Okay.
Chris votes for Twinkies.
Jupiter. Right. Jupiter.
Okay.
I'm not even sure if they have Sharknado in China. So I've got to go with the Sharknado answer.
That's some good. That's some good reasoning. I like that.
Yes.
I am going to join Jupiter, Josh, Matt, because Sharknado is like a delicacy over there. They eat it. I don't think they'd be afraid. It's like open buffet.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with American Twinkies.
Oh, Jupiter. Wow. All right. So let's hear who won. Me and Jupiter or my cousin and Ken?
It's your cousin and Ken.
That's right.
See that?
We're going to get drunk at a bar in Ecuador.
Good job.
Or Chili's.
Yeah, they can't name them Twinkies.
Oh, I was trying to. Twinkies was referred to their white.
Well, it would be an international incident.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
For all the Twinkies around here.
Damn it. I believed the run part. I didn't believe the flying shark for some reason. I thought it was two on the nose. They don't actually fly.
Well, the other one was run Cloudzilla. So they just put run when something's in the air that's not supposed to be there.
They should remake it and call it Tiger Nato. Because tigers are all over
China. I like how the titles are very informative.
Yeah.
They serve a purpose.
For. Yeah, they're not sugarcoating
anything. Those all China ones are tough.
Right.
Zero sugarcoating.
Yeah,
totally.
Exactly.
Totally. All right, so from there, we're going to move on into a fun little segment I like to do where we do with Tom. He takes a look at the top five grossing movies based on a subject. So with Home... taking the top spot this week. We're doing one that is on the top five grossing alien movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This category could be wide open in terms of what actually constitutes an alien movie.
True. I was thinking about whether it's going to be a friendly alien, like an E.T.
Oh, not illegal aliens, like extraterrestrials, gotcha.
Yeah, No, we're not talking like old country for old men here.
Okay.
It's but you got movies like the Marvel Avengers is up there. That's an alien movie, technically.
Technically.
You got all the Transformer movies.
I
want to talk about more like the Independence Day. Like real aliens
coming to Earth.
Yes, correct. Not
Transformers dressed up as cars.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we got the top 10 here. I mean, something like Signs.
Yeah, which I hated that movie because of the ending.
Well, true. But it's decent. I mean, look, that's the kind of movies we're talking about here.
Did it pull in?
$227 million.
Well, do you want to run down the list here?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, go
ahead. Well, I mean, one's Avengers, obviously. It's $600 zillion.
Yeah.
Then you got Transformers and Transformers and Transformers. But then you go to Independence Day at $300, which was great.
Oh, nice.
You know, the crazy
still holding
part,
strong.
It is.
Yeah.
The crazy part about that was the director, Roland Emmerich, Robert Loggia, wouldn't come out of his trailer one day. I didn't know what the problem was. So apparently he found out a producer, some guy named Devlin something, told Robert Loggia, he's like, you know, to really like prepare for your role, you should watch the movie Airplane. And he's like, I never heard of that. Okay, I'll go watch it. So he watched the movie Airplane. He's like, what am I, a spoof movie here?
Yeah.
Why is this guy telling me to do this? He meant to say Airport.
Oh, Airport, yep.
So Loggia was like, I can't believe I signed on for a spoof movie. They're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
I got some big stuff going on, but then Loggia came out and
they came out. Mr. President, I stand by your side.
Yeah, the Airplane was a spoof of Airport.
Yeah,
correct.
So in a way,
he got part of it.
Yeah, and Robert Loggia, he was, then he went on to do Big. No, he did Big before that.
Way before.
Way before.
Here.
All right, coming in number six, Man of Steel.
Yes.
Technically an alien movie.
See, this is tough. Like, you forget some of these guys are aliens. Like, Superman, do I think alien movie?
No.
Maybe the last one a little bit just because of Zod and how he comes down, but...
Yeah. But they're, like, sci-fi aliens.
Yeah.
It's kind of good. It's a comic book movie.
I guess so.
Cowboys and Aliens ain't on the list. I'll tell you why, because it's a horrible movie, but I don't think of it, it's a comic book movie.
You say that pretty confidently.
Yeah. It's not very good.
And then you got a real good one. I still love this movie, Men in Black.
Love the first one.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
$250 million. Clint Eastwood was supposed to play Tommy Lee Jones' role.
I could totally see that.
But he was like, no, I'm doing another movie. Yeah,
I will say 2 and 3 were horrible.
Yeah, they didn't hit.
They didn't hit.
Not good.
Vincent D'Onofrio
Was he in there?
Yeah, he was the guy.
Sugar.
Which one?
He was the Walter.
Oh, the first one, yeah. He was the crazy-looking dude. Okay.
He prepared for his role by watching a lot of bug documentaries on the National Geographic Channel.
I'm here to pick up a French cat.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty good.
That was him. That's actually really good. You know, and then, like I said, you know, I wanted to do, I mean, we should have E.T. on here, but it's not because it's
but
not.
But Transformers Age of Extinction is.
That's correct.
Number 8.
You know, Tyrese actually paid to be in the movie.
No,
they didn't pay him.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. He gave one of the producers like $100,000.
He really liked Bumblebee.
I guess so.
But that probably got him his roles in Fast and Furious. Who knows?
True.
You know, either way.
All right. So next we have War of the Worlds.
The Spielberg version.
Yeah, the Spielberg version, the remake with Tom Cruise. This is one of those movies I was really excited for when it was about to come out. And then I went to theaters.
It was terrible.
I felt a little disappointed. I wouldn't go terrible, because some of the set pieces, like the bridge scene with the ferry, is really well done. But I didn't like the way it ended, and I didn't really buy a relationship with Tom Cruise and his kids, which is kind of the movie kind of rust on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Although I do love the part with Tim Robbins where he's like in the basement and Tim Robbins loses his shit.
Here's the thing. I secretly love that movie.
Oh, do you really?
I really do.
I just, I thought it was too slow. I didn't see anything.
I could see why, and I can see why.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't see it in the theater. Watched it once and went, that wasn't that good. And then it was one of those things HBO showed it like every Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So I'd have it on in the background by the 30th viewing. I'm like, it's my favorite part. Yeah, when he and Tim Robbins go out. Yeah, there's something about it I like.
I mean, I love Tom Cruise in every movie, but I just didn't know this wasn't his movie.
He was playing a Red Sox fan.
He was a Yankee fan.
His son
maybe
was
that's
Red
why
Sox
I
fan.
Liked it. Yeah, a Yankee fan saved the day.
Maybe.
And Tom Cruise is one of my favorite actors, but you know, there's a scene where he's like working the crane and he's supposed to be like this shipyard guy. I just can't buy him as like this everyday New Jersey guy.
Yeah.
I just see, you know, Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible.
It should have been more like, hey, the aliens are coming here.
And nothing happened until like the last 10 minutes in the movie.
That's not true.
Just damn close to it.
Okay, let's move on.
Next on the list.
It's like Geraldo Rivera.
Next on the list is Signs, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this was the movie where I loved Sixth Sense. I loved Unbreakable. This is the movie where I was like, and I'm a huge Mel Gibson fan.
This is where he started falling off.
Yeah, and and this was before all his trouble in the press and everything.
Right.
But the end of this movie is just so like, I mean, I don't want to ruin it for everybody, but if you haven't seen it, it just kind of undercuts the whole movie when you find out what exactly the weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's actually a little bit of a callback to War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
We could spoil it. Was it water or something?
It's water. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But I left the theater. I was like, a gang of kids with super soakers could take these dudes out.
Good. Let's form a team.
Let's form a team.
Form a brute squad.
I mean, the aliens are going to attack a planet that's 70% water that is in the air. I mean, if it rained, it's just like raining
acid.
That's
bad research on their intel.
The smartest people in the world.
Yeah. We assume that they're going to be super intelligent beings. They might just be recklessly going through the galaxy like Tom at a bar looking for a safe port.
If they have the technology to fly across universes, they think they would have the technology, you know, maybe
all
Google.
The money got put into the research and development of that ship and not to analyze the land that it's conquering.
And, you know, you think something, a being that could fly across the universe might have clothes.
Usually
is that
the
just
toughest,
something they don't need?
Usually the toughest thing to solve is the easiest solution, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happens there.
I mean, Tyler Myers writes, maybe they didn't know it was water. Again, going back to my theory that the research was bad.
On space is
they didn't
water.
Have all these sheets and intel.
Yeah, it's true.
They needed Robb Stark and his map from Cinderella.
Go. Well, I think
rounding out the list.
I think Signs is like 70% good movie, and the last 30% just goes as
much.
It like
was intriguing for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Much like 70% water on the land, which is a fact from you.
Thank you.
I want someone to check that.
It's 95% water.
The Earth is not 90% water.
It's
72% water.
No, it's 95%.
Hey, at least he called it.
No, that's the human body. The human body is like.
At least he called it Earth and not like Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rounding out this list for Tom that you presented is Monsters versus Aliens.
Animated movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a 3D movie. I remember when 3D really started coming. And I remember DreamWorks really pushing like this new 3D movie. It's supposed to be a throwback to like the 1950s. There's the 50-foot woman.
Yeah.
And Seth Rogen was like the Blob or something. I saw it once in theaters. It was okay.
Yeah. I watch animated films, obviously.
That's
I'll reiterate that.
All right. reiterated.
There you go. The top five grossing alien movies, and we listed off 11, but there was four Transformers, so it counts. Yeah. I'm glad Independence Day is still on the list, and it shows that the sequel, some 20 years later, might have some legs to stand on.
Jeff Goldblum signed on to it, and Liam Hemsworth.
And Vivica Fox.
That's right.
She's returning. And
the same dog.
Randy Quaid is currently in a hotel room in Canada running from the government.
Yes, wearing white Gucci shoes. Yeah. From the set of Christmas Vacation.
That's the one. Like, I rewatched that movie maybe like a month ago.
Christmas Vacation?
No, Independence Day.
Yeah.
And it holds up.
It does hold up well, but that last scene where Randy Quaid is just flying up in that old duster and he's like, here I am.
Wait, you don't believe that?
I believe it comes off a little cheesy.
By the way, a lot of people are saying that JTE is the one who's right about the water tank.
Thank you.
And maybe he is.
Chris Osterman and
Liam
LeGrand say 72-71%. JT paid attention in some kind of class, or he secretly works for the aliens.
I think it's like 40% of a woman's derriere, where the fat is in the derriere.
That, I'm sure, is probably a fact.
You don't have to.
We can research that on another video.
50%. 70% in some races.
Yeah. So we come around the corner of the bend on the show here. We talk about upcoming films and give predictions. I'll be predicting for Sarah, and I'd like to apologize to Sarah now for my predictions. But let's get to it. Upcoming films. What do we got coming out this big Easter holiday weekend?
There's really one movie that we really need to be talking about.
Yes, Effie Gray.
Effie Gray with Dakota Fanning.
The Woman in Gold.
It is Furious 7. This thing's going to make, I'm hearing some reports, it's going to make anywhere up to $150 million this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crazy numbers. And, I mean, the last two movies were huge, too. I think they're close to $110 million.
This will be top five grossing movie of the year.
Yeah.
Even with Star Wars and Avengers.
And they're doing this thing that the last two are doing now. They're like a Captain America. This was the Captain America slot last year. It's the 1 month before the real big summer season starts. You're the first out the door. And everyone I know wants a big budget action movie. We've all sat through the Oscar season. We've gone through the January, February garbage months.
The junk pile season,
We're ready for a good, entertaining movie. So I think people are going to flock. And, you know,
This will rule the box office until Avengers comes out.
And the Paul Walker factor, you know, when somebody like Heath Ledger died during Dark Knight, Bran Lee died during The Crow, whenever something kind of has like this last film that they made,
whatever it's called.
Yeah, it really does add to the box office, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, but this movie doesn't even need that. I mean, like I said, the only reason why I don't want to see this is because Iggy Azalea is in it, and I hate Iggy Azalea.
What have you got against Iggy?
Yeah,
I think she's a fraud. I think she is a made-up pop star. Yeah, doesn't write her own stuff.
Artist by committee kind of deal?
Yeah, I think she's a joke. Mm. I don't know what the hell Nick Young from the Lakers is doing. She got a great body, but who cares?
Mm. Okay.
I don't know her well enough or her
music.
She looks
like the white chick.
I mean, I just know her as the white chick with the big booty because she did a video with J-Lo where they're just rubbing asses the whole time. And
I just can't believe it.
What do you guys do on the weekend when you're not broadcasting?
I mean, I observe a lot. I just sit on my porch and watch people walk by.
I don't
by.
Know if I want to be in your room, JT, on the saying. Weekend, sleeping on a pile of Blu-rays, watching butt videos with Iggy Azalea and J-Lo.
Dominoes.
Good luck to you, Chris. I hope your journey home is safe.
That sounds like a good weekend to me. I'm not going to lie.
Dominoes. I love on JT's notes, by the way. He had some notes on the upcoming films, Women in Gold. He lists the cast, Helen Mirren, Ryan Reynolds, Effie Gray, the cast, Emma Thompson, Dakota Fent, Cut Bank, Liam Neeson, Billy Bob Thornton, Fast and Furious 7. He just writes everyone.
Everyone, because he's not in this movie. I have a part in this movie. You guys didn't know that.
I'm
literally at a car wash just watching one of the cars. Everyone's in this damn movie.
This movie's going to make a ton of money. I just don't. It almost looks like comical now.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Alicia Malone's seen it from the Schmoes crew. And some of the other people I've talked to have seen it. It's like, you know, I love 5. I thought it was a great, like, Ocean's 11 version of it.
Mm-hmm.
6, there's a scene where Vin Diesel literally jumps off his car, grabs Michelle Rodriguez, and then flies on another car.
Yeah, this one.
The odds of him catching her and jumping off that car are unbelievable. I was like, okay, we literally are getting to comic book territory.
Well, yeah.
And I'm hearing this one is taking it to the next level.
Here in the middle of it, they attached Vin Diesel to a rocket ship. And then he just falls and lands in a Taco Bell.
If his car blows up and he comes out as like the T-1000, I wouldn't be shocked.
Anything
this
at this point.
He's basically a cyborg.
I just hope they don't CGI, like Paul Walker's head, like they did.
They've got some CGI work in it. Yeah,
they used his brothers, which apparently he looks very much alike.
Similar. Okay.
And they did use, I guess, Weta, who's one of the best.
Peter Jackson's company. Yeah.
Helped with some CGI, which, you know, this happened a long time ago with Brandon Lee, and I watch that movie now, and I can't tell where they did the work.
Are you sure you're watching that movie and not staring at more J-Lo videos? Or?
I do watch Big Trouble in Little Tokyo with him, because Tia Carrere has a nude scene.
Oh, that's good.
I know my nude scene.
You're like the walking Mr. Skin.
Yeah.
It's all here. Boom. So I think it's going to make, and listen, I agree with you, if Paul Walker was still alive, it still would have made a crap load.
Oh, yeah.
I think if it was going to make 130, it's going to make an extra 10 million or more. Just
not a big bump,
but
enough.
Not a big bump, but it's a big bump.
Sure, people are going to make it. So obviously it's not going to compete with Women in Gold, F.B. Gray, Cut Bank, or those movies aren't going to compete with them, I should say.
These other movies are very limited release. Sure. They're exactly what you should do if you're going to release a movie like this. They're counter-programming.
Yeah.
Women in Gold, Helen Mirren, is going to get the older audience in there with Katie Holmes, Effie Gray, Emma Thompson, Dakota Fanning. I mean, these are basically the opposite of the people that are going to go see Fast Furious.
Yeah, Helen Mirren plays octogenarian.
Octogenarian.
Yeah.
You're going to have to school me on that. What
is
that?
It's when women from 80 to 89 like troll dating websites and catfish people. Yeah, it's weird.
Wait, how's to explain that a little more, please?
Yeah, that's what they do.
Instead of Tinder, it's Tender.
Yeah, they're like sexually active. 89-year-olds.
Are their profiles as younger girls, and then you meet them and they're older?
Yeah, like 40-year-old women and stuff.
Also, it's not like a 20-year-old or something. It's like a 40-year-old.
Yeah, well,
I'm just going to let this one happen.
Helen Mirren, by the way.
I'm going to let you find out for yourself, Josh.
Helen Mirren had that bikini bit come out a couple years ago, and she looked amazing for like a 60-something-year-old, or whatever she was.
Yeah, I know. She looked better than some 20-year-olds I know.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not a bad thing if she
Look up octogenarian.
Yeah, everyone listening, look it up. And
just don't press image on that Google search.
But a Woman in Gold, it's about a lady who's like World War II happens. The Nazis like steal a painting from her, and then the German government takes it and she's trying to get it. I mean, the movie looks interesting. And actually, the schmoes who've seen the movie really said it was a really good movie, which I can't see myself running out to see this, but, you know, maybe Netflix one day and I'm bored. I might check it out.
I have zero chance of seeing this
movie. I love Ryan Reynolds. The first thing
like
I know.
Geek in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I saw the trailer. It's like when he wants to be more serious, he puts glasses on.
Yeah, he's putting a lot of stinkers lately, though.
Yeah, that's true. And then Effie Gray, Emma Thompson, Dakota Fanning. I never heard of this movie, but I saw a trailer for it a week ago at a district. When I saw It Falls the first time, they had a trailer, and I was like, okay.
Emma Thompson wrote it, or whatever her name is.
Emma
Thompson. It's like Sense and Sensibility. She always plays that lady with like that weird hat with that like thing over her face, like in every movie.
Oh, you tell me, like, yeah.
Yeah, like one of those little debutante things.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody cares.
You know, it's
nobody
interesting.
Cares.
The thing I mentioned about Dakota Fanning, the child star of like the early 2000s.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
War of the Worlds, Man on Fire. I mean, she did so many big movies with like big budget directors. And she's trying to, you know, keep her career going. Obviously, that's a hard transition.
Yeah, it's a tough transition,
And I think it's smart for her to go for these smaller kind of independent films to try to, you know.
Build up some cred. Acting cred, acting chops. And I think she's got the chops. Cut Bank.
Yeah, and Cut Bank, I've never heard of this movie. To this day, I still haven't heard of it. I saw it and I said, oh, Billy Bob Thornton's going to be in a movie? With Liam Hemsworth? I mean, Liam Hemsworth is not a... The guy was in what? Was he in Hunger Games? Yeah, he's in Hunger Games. But he's a side character.
In Expendables.
Expendables 2, which he was not in very long.
No.
He's not a bankable name, but that's why I was like, when I saw Billy Bob Thornton, I was like, why is Billy Bob Thornton doing like these small movies that no one's heard of?
Well, he has to.
And you're a fan of Billy Bob, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Billy Bob.
He's cousins. This one's for Ken. He's cousins with, guess who? Wrestlers.
All right.
Terry and Dory Funk.
Really?
Yeah.
Funk family,
so next time you guys are together, you, Terry, and Dory, when you're chilling over in Tommy Nolan's or whatever, you're like, hey, we know Billy Bob Thornton.
I will probably be seeing Terry Funk in 2 weeks at Cauliflower Alley Club. Yeah. I'll let him out. I'll ask him.
You should.
Yeah, I'll ask him.
The only thing about Billy Bob is, like, he did great in Fargo, which was a TV series that came out last year. He won the Emmy for it. Yeah. I'm hoping that will maybe kind of jumpstart his career a little bit, because when's the last time he's been in a major film?
He's just too weird on camera now. He looks like an alien.
You really think so?
Yeah, he's got that stupid soul patch. He
went a little thin.
His head is like 15 times bigger than his body.
Yeah.
He's like all veiny in the arms.
My favorite Billy Bob look is Tombstone.
Oh, when he was just like...
Oh, he was
puffy, little puffy face and a beard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to do something? You're going to stand there and bleed?
He was good in Bound by Honor 2, Blood in, Blood Out. But he was also up for Forrest Gump.
Was he really?
Yeah, because he played
because
you know, Sling
he was
Blade.
In that Sling Blade. Yeah, yeah, you know, I will say, you know, the guy did.
Didn't Sling Blade come out after that?
There's not many fast talking.
Sling Blade
play
was
slow
after
dude.
Forrest Gump.
I know.
Yeah, Sling Blade was after Forrest Gump, but he might you know showed he could do it. I guess.
Are you sure it was?
I'm not sure.
I think Sling Blade was like
audience
96.
Help us out
I don't
on
know.
That.
All right, so
but
maybe
but,
you're right.
No, but at the end of the day, he's been with Angelina Jolie. And
sure.
He's a winner from that day forward. He was a winner. He always will be.
Josh has small goals
wins
in life.
All, wins on every level.
Yeah.
But he said she was he said she was not very active in the bedroom.
Did he really say that? Right. I feared she would be the opposite.
He said it was like banging a couch or something like that.
God.
These are quotes.
You can look up that. You can look it up. It's real.
Sure. Should we get to the predictions?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm wrangling you boys on. Let's get to the predictions.
I want t-shirts.
Let's do this. This is where we predict the next week's box office, the order. And do I need a number two? I can't remember.
What?
Do I need a number that they're going
to
take?
From one to five.
I get that, but the dollar amount.
Yeah, the
no,
first
you don't
one.
Need the dollar amount.
Yeah, the first one.
If
first
it's,
one.
If
be
it's a
close.
Tie.
Yeah,
okay.
It might be ties because I'll
okay.
have a few
okay.
more.
Liam Logrand's The Sling Blade was 1996. All right, so go ahead. Tom.
Yeah, starts off.
Start. Yeah, okay. I think five, you're going to see Cinderella.
Oh, wow, okay.
Just because. It's, you know, it's there. Four, Insurgent. Fast and Furious is going to destroy everybody. Three, Get Hard. Two, Home. And one, Fast and Furious. I just think it's pretty... It's really self-explanatory.
I had the exact same order.
The exact same order.
That's why I said we better pick
that's
the top one.
That's what everyone's going for.
All right, so
we all have the exact same five. I think it's pretty obvious, because we didn't discuss this before the show. We all looked at the list and came up with the
same
solution.
We couldn't discuss it. Tom was being dropped off by the police 2 minutes before we got in. And you had to take one of those little horse carriages that you had to rent from an Ecuadorian village to get here.
All right. So the big note. This is the big question, though. How much is Fast Furious going to make?
That's the big one. Do we have a caller for?
We'll say that now. Start taking some. We'll get on the lines. We'll take calls in like the next minute or two.
Yeah. The phone call. The number to call in is 424-253-0504. 424-253-0504. When you call in, be ready to talk. Be ready to jump in and have something for us here
in your top
on box
ready.
Office breakdown. All right. So give some numbers.
All right. We'll go to our numbers and we'll take some phone calls.
Yeah.
I am going to go right at 150. I'm going to go right at 150.
Okay.
Actually,
nope.
No, hold on. Yeah, I'll go 150.
All right, stick 150.
I'm sticking 150.
3 days. I have a feeling people are just going to go out in droves. It's the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball starting.
Going under
chicks
or?
Who have worked out for 3.5 months are showing off their bodies now. I'm going
to
say $141 million.
Oh, 140. Damn.
Wow.
Don't cut me.
I say this movie is going to take in $110 million.
Wow, so you think it's going to be on the lower end.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Try to play conservative.
Okay.
All right.
That one.
That's fair.
Hedge my bet. It's
Sarah might thank you for
that. I'm playing for Sarah.
I mean, Avengers hit $200 million its opening weekend. That's the only reason why. And this almost feels like an Avengers-type movie now. It's the only reason why I'm going that high.
It's the first big one.
All right, well, let's take some phone calls. Jupiter Josh, we're good to go? All right, welcome to the Box Office Breakdown. Nuance, who's your top five? You got a question? What's going on?
Hello?
Who do we got? I guess that's the first question I should ask.
Yeah.
Hello? Are you guys hearing me?
Yeah,
yes, sir.
We
hear you loud and clear.
Hey, so my name is Jamar Turner from Buffalo, New York. I'm calling for my five top positions box office this weekend.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hear him, bro. Let's hear him.
Yeah, number one is going to be Furious 7.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, number two is going to be Home.
Mm-hmm.
The Home's going to drop off. Drop to number two this week.
Gotcha.
Number three is going to be Get Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Number four is going to be a surgeon,
yeah.
And number five is going to be Cinderella.
Yeah, man, that's what everybody. That's a general consensus.
That seems to be the one.
Let's get. What do you think Fast 7 is going to make? Just in case we have a tie here, which we will.
Well, they say 110, 115 million. I'll probably say it probably make like 130 or 140 or something.
Okay,
this opening weekend.
All right, we're gonna put you down at 135. We're gonna meet you right in the middle on that.
Yeah, because it's gonna be the biggest opening since Captain America last year for $95 million.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Well,
basically, How can we get in touch with you if you win? I think we have a book of Eli.
My phone number is 716.
Don't give your phone number.
Are you on Twitter or Facebook?
Well, I have a Facebook page. So you guys can post on my page.
Jermyron Turner's
Facebook.
Okay, perfect. Right, go point. Yeah, find us on Facebook, and good luck to those Buffalo Bills this year, stealing Charles Clay from my Dolphins.
Thanks for the call, man.
On Twitter, Tommy writes, Mr. T.T. Green, he has the same order that we have. He puts Furious 7 at $122 million.
That's actually not bad.
It's everything seems to be between a 1 and 150. Imagine if it doesn't break 100.
Hey, I think it'll be a little bit upset. That's why I thought about going low.
Trooper Josh, let us know we have an art call on. We got any art calls? Oh, we do. All right, let's take an art call. If you got any questions about box office or anything else you want to talk about, throw it at me and the crew here. Who do we got?
Hey, this is Dylan Esposito.
Of course it is. Dylan Esposito, big winner today of a Blu-ray of Joyful Noise.
Are you going to watch this movie? Or are you going to hand it off as a gift?
Oh, no, definitely watch that and do that and Barbershop 2 have a little duet in movies.
Yeah, I mean, chicks love Joyful Noise.
You and I
put it on, it's one of the top three panty-dropping movies of all time.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I want a copy now, Jesus.
It's a Tom fact. Dylan, what you got for us today?
Do you have the same top five as everybody?
Yeah, I had the same top five. I had Furious at 121.
121, okay. All right.
But as far as questions go,
You got
how many movies do you think it'll be before Fast and Furious kind of jumps the shark and it's just 2 minutes?
Oh, I thought they already did
after two. Yeah. After the first one,
I asked a very similar question on Thursday's show. Money wise, they're going to keep making them. My question really was, how do you think? When's it going to just not be good anymore? When is it going to hit Resident Evil territory where it's not good anymore?
I think these stunts keep evolving. I mean, they're just going to keep evolving, and it's going to be Fast and Furious like 12. It takes place on Mars.
There was about a year or so ago on we covered on the Schmoes No Movie Show. The story had come out that they had like 10 planned. Mm-hmm. This was really, before 10. The untimely death of Paul Walker, but they had that kind of thing going. They seem to have handled the departure of Walker's character well, so that the franchise could go on. So, could be around a while.
I can't see the reason why, which is impressive,
considering the franchise.
Yeah.
Jokes aside, may have been dead after the second one, but was really dead after the fourth one.
Oh yeah. Well, they couldn't even get these guys to do it anymore. And then, they figured like nobody else in those movies were doing anything.
Yeah.
So they were like, why not just go back to this?
My thing is, I think what happened was Justin Lin came in and gave a fresh pair of eyes to the franchise.
Yeah.
And I know they did that with Juan, and I'm curious to see what he did with it. If they start doing what they kind of do with Mission Impossible, where they bring out a different director every film, like there they brought Brad Bird, De Palma, John Woo. If they start bringing some more bigger name directors, I think it would help the franchise a lot and keep it going. Either way, it's going to keep going. It's a money machine, but my interest, I think, might go down if
they, start going down. Iggy Azalea, and I'm done.
He's out.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Dylan.
Thanks, dude.
And no problem.
Well done on your 5 for 5.
All right, we'll take one more, then we can start wrapping up this shindig.
Yeah, let's do one more.
Let's do one more call. We got another call. All right. Hey, welcome to Box Office Breakdown, man. Turn your live show down a little bit.
Turn your YouTube down.
I love hearing myself talk Mission Impossible, but you might be able to hear you. Who do we got?
Can you hear us? Who do we got? Hey, you're on Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, you're on.
All right, we lost him.
You lost him.
Next
one.
All right, we got another one.
Hi, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. How you doing? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Chris Osterman.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Chris Osterman, yeah.
Hey, you got your stuff today, right?
I got my stuff today. Thank you all so much. The Jay Peterman catalog was fascinating. I really enjoyed that.
It's amazing. The lyrics in there, the dialogue, it's just...
Yeah, you are some really great people over there for sending me this stuff. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Sarah signed that, and she actually kissed the page.
He knocked it out of the park last week.
Oh yeah! Oh, forget it.
He destroyed it.
Yeah, it was a good time. So, yeah, Sarah kissed that book. So I don't know, do what you want with it.
do what you want.
JT couldn't sign it because he was out of the country.
I wasn't here, man. I'll just send you something on the side.
Chris, what do you got? You got some predictions for us?
Yeah, you got something?
Or you got questions?
Well, yeah, I got some predictions, but it's not quite like a top five list. I kind of came up with something different this week, and I wanted to get your all's opinion on this.
Sure. Sounds devious. Let's do it.
Jim Napsok's on the panel.
Yes, he is.
Trying to get his opinion as well. And JT, welcome back from the Congo.
Thanks, man.
My prediction is that 2015 may be the highest grossing year in cinematic history.
I think there's no question about that.
Fast 7, Age of Ultron, Jurassic World, Hunger Games, James Bond, Spectre, Inside Out, and Star Wars, Mission Impossible, The Revenant, and that's not even including like the Oscar season.
And even possibly Hateful Eight.
I mean, they're going to bring in, it's going to bring in so many billions of dollars. I just wanted to kind of get your all's thoughts on do you think that this year is going to be the highest grossing year in film history or close?
Great question. I think yes. One, ticket sales always go up.
Yeah.
And that always goes in, you know, inflation. But yeah, the movies that are coming out this year are so big blockbuster, and starting with this one, I think it's going to be nonstop for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. I think it'll blow the box office out by probably close to 500 million, maybe a billion.
You know, if Avengers...
Well, the thing is,
okay, go ahead.
All of these movies could suck, but people are going to go see them because of the title.
Sure. Of course.
Well, that's part of the business aspect of it, is we are seeing an unparalleled fervor for franchises that we've never seen before. It is a giant market. Just try to get a hotel room at San Diego in early July. You can't. So these franchises and these genres and these markets, these are money-making, repeat-viewing type of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great point to close out the show, is we are going into one of, could be, the most impressive seasons. I mean, I'm a Star Wars guy, obviously. Jedi Alliance live in a half hour, by the way. But I think Avengers still might win long term.
Here's the thing.
Age of Ultron.
It's going to do a billion.
This happened with American Sniper, because when a movie comes out at the very end of the year, the movie it makes the following year, like 2016, Star Wars is going to make most of its money in 2016.
Yeah, correct.
It still counts as 2015. Yeah, so a movie, Avengers 2 was coming out. No Star Wars.
Yeah.
I would say it had a chance to make the biggest year ever.
Mm-hmm.
With Star Wars, that thing is at a fever pitch.
Right.
And it is something that everyone has wanted for since the original trilogy. Forget the prequels. Like this doesn't come around very often.
I know people cut their right arm off right now if they could see that movie. Like, and Ken Netflix might be one of them.
Like, just between Star Wars, Jurassic World, Age of Ultron, and The Hunger Games. I mean, you're looking at like a couple billion dollars, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
easily.
Easily.
Hunger Games. Yeah, and like you said, that James Bond, that last James Bond made a crap load.
Yeah, the Spectre teaser trailer looks great.
And
everything. What's the previous biggest year? 1968 when Herbie the Love Bug came out for the first time?
That is it. I think it was 1969 when Easy Rider came out.
Yeah. 69, was it? Sounds about right.
What year did Lock Up come out?
Oh, yeah, that was a big movie. That's 80.
That was 86, I think.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
It's all good.
Thank you, man.
All right, there we go. Tommy Green, Mr. T.T. Green, asks one final question.
Okay.
Close on the show on this. Which non-movie event do you think hurts the box office more? Super Bowl?
I think the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight's going to do it this year. I think it's going to take a little bit away from Avengers because a lot of dudes are going to watch that.
That's could be.
Good point.
Good question, Tommy. No, I think Super Bowl might be the only one, but then if you counter program it well, you're going to get money.
Well, I mean, Super Bowl, it takes away from the box office, it takes away from shit movies, though.
But it takes away from Sunday.
That's the only thing that shuts down
movies. But Avengers is going to make that money back.
Oh,
it's not
gonna, of course it is. I'm going to be watching the Pacquiao fight, trust me.
I will say Super Bowl only because I feel like Super Bowl takes the whole weekend away from you, just Sunday. I think that Pacquiao fight happens at night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes the whole day, but man, Super Bowl is a national holiday every year.
Understood.
That's true.
Just like WrestleMania for me.
But I understand. Listen, I'm going to be a
Or the AVN Awards, obviously.
For Tom.
That's a big
AVN
one.
AVN Awards?
Yeah.
Adult Film Awards?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the big one. That's a big one. That's a 3-week extravaganza.
On that note, we're going to do Box Office Live for the AVN Awards.
Sounds good.
I might be able to hook that up.
That's good. My friend Danielle was the host of the event this year. Maybe I could get that going for you guys.
Danielle Steele?
Danielle Stewart.
Yeah. She's hot.
Yeah, maybe. Tom's probably not allowed into most Vegas casinos anymore, though.
Not anymore.
Not after the summer of 2004.
Only the Indian casinos.
So, that has been a fun edition of Box Office Breakdown. Thank you so much for letting me sit in for the lovely Sarah Stratton. She'll be back next week, we assume.
Yeah, I was glad to be back. You know, it's been 2 weeks. It feels good to be back.
That's right. You can always follow me on Twitter at Ken Napsok. You can follow Tom at Bob Finstock, JT at Schmoes JTE. Chris, thanks for joining us from the couch.
Yeah, man.
JTE's family coming in. I know you don't have Twitter because you're probably on the run from some sort of government agency. Just why you're here hiding out in JT's
his
apartment.
Face will be blurred throughout this
Jupiter Josh in the engineer room, thank you so much for your fine work today.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you guys take it out. It's your show.
Yeah, let's get those likes up. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep the callers calling in and everything.
Way to close
the right.
Show strong.
Let's make it right.
Keep watching those numbers.
Maybe I should have kept up.
Yeah.
Till next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.